You and I are blessed to have a beautiful church building here at Emmanuel. One of the things that's really beautiful are the stained glass windows. And if you didn't know it, these windows actually came from the old church. The three with the figures there and the figures here. The Gethsemane window behind me. And then the window that's above the main doors that says Emmanuel's Kirche, God's Church, that came from the old church too. These windows are much bigger, so the other stained glass was added in below and above them. I can imagine that when the first church was built back in 1878, that there would have been quite a discussion about what windows to pick out. There's so many Bible stories. How would you know which ones to pick? Well, crucifixion for Jesus, ascension, resurrection, those are key things. The Gethsemane window behind me, Jesus praying on the night before he dies. But then this on this side, Bible stories, Jesus stands at the door and knocks, and then Peter not trusting Jesus, and he's going to drown. And then there's the Good Shepherd window. All of these are meaningful to us as Christians. But especially tonight, we're going to talk about Jesus being our Good Shepherd and what that means for us and our faith. What a blessing to know that Jesus has such a love for us that he'd do anything for us, even die for us. And that while you and I still live here, he has that perfect care for us too. And that's what makes him our Good Shepherd. We worship in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the people of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Yet so often we have despised God's word, and have failed to gladly hear and learn it. For this and all our sins, we now come before our God and humbly ask for his forgiveness. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your gracious presence forever. Lord, I repent of my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. God gave his word so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The scriptures testify about Jesus, who lived a perfect life for you, died on the cross to pay for all of your sins, and rose again to assure you of your salvation. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 33. Peter and John are out continuing the Lord's work, and they're in a place where they're ordered not to preach about Jesus. Well, when other believers heard that, they prayed that God would give these apostles boldness to continue and to speak God's word even in the face of danger, and that's exactly what happened. After Peter and John were released, they went to their own friends and reported everything the high priest and the elders had said. When they heard this, with one mind, they raised their voices to God and said, "Master, you are the God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. By the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, you said, 'Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed one.' For certainly in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and people of Israel, were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did whatever your hand and your plan had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, look at their threats and give to your servants the ability to keep on speaking your word with all boldness as you stretch out your hand to heal and as signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken. Also, everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit as they continued to preach the word of God with boldness. The whole group of believers was one in heart and soul. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they held everything in common. The apostles continued to testify about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ with great power, and abundant grace was on all of them. Our psalm reading for tonight, along with our theme of the Good Shepherd, is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our second scripture reading is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. God's grace is his undeserved love for us. It's a love that's hard for you and I to understand. In fact, we can't really comprehend it in its full meaning. But someday we will. Someday you and I will be in heaven and we'll see God's love for what it is, that undeserved love that saves us and takes us to our permanent home with him. See the kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The world does not know us because it did not know him. Dear friends, we are children of God now, but what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he is revealed, we will be like him, and we will see him as he really is. God's word for our encouragement are the verses of tonight's gospel lesson from John 10, verses 11 through 18. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Dear fellow worshipers, you and I have things that we need taken care of in our lives on a regular basis, and sometimes when we're looking for help, it's hard to get. Maybe you're looking to make some kind of repair in your house, and it's hard to find somebody who has the time or the know-how to get that done. Other people might be looking at things that affect their health, and they're trying to figure out things with their doctor, and that's not always an easy thing either, is it? You're looking for help for a specific thing, someone that's knowledgeable, and then, again, has the time to help you with it. We look for all kinds of things in our life, and it seems like we end up searching for the help that we need, and sometimes find it, and sometimes we don't. Well, as Christians, we know that we need another kind of help. We need the spiritual kind. And thankfully, you and I don't have to go searching for that, because we don't go looking for it on our own because of who we are as sinners. But something wonderful happens. Jesus comes and he looks for us. And then he has all the answers to sin, the answers to faith, the answer is to get him home to heaven. And it's that picture of a good shepherd that reminds us how well Jesus takes care of us and what his plan is really meant to be for us by our faith in him. Tonight we have the privilege to study these words about Jesus and how he is our good shepherd. He perfectly cares for us and he perfectly loves us. Jesus had a great concern for his 12 disciples. He was always teaching people and going around and showing them who he is as the Savior. But he really needed the disciples to understand that too. So he used different things with them. He would teach a parable, an earthly story that had a heavenly meaning. What he does here in our reading from John 10 is he uses what we call his I am statements, where Jesus talks about himself by using a certain term. Like he'll say, I am the bread of life. I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the light of the world. Things like that. Well, in our reading for tonight, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And that was a picture that Jesus wanted his disciples to have on their minds so that they would despair of themselves and their own abilities and instead put all of their trust and reliance on Jesus. If you were a shepherd in Bible times, you really valued your sheep. They were your entire livelihood. You would raise your sheep, you would have lambs, you could sell those lambs, you'd have wool, things like that. You relied on them. And because you kept most of your flock from one year to the next, you were careful to take care of those animals because you wanted them to survive. Well, it wasn't an easy thing to take care of sheep. Sheep are not smart. They would walk right into a predator if one was there. They could roll onto their back and then get stuck, all four legs up in the air, couldn't get off the ground. They can't find water on their own or grass on their own. They'd eat it and drink it if it was right in front of them, but they have no instincts like that. So the sheep needed to have a shepherd who would be there to take care of them. Well, that's how Jesus describes himself. Of course, we're the sheep, aren't we? We're the foolish ones, the ones that don't know how to save ourselves. So Jesus has to come looking for us. And so he says, I am the good shepherd. Well, it sounds like that word good sounds like, yeah, Jesus is kind of mediocre. He's just good. Well, that's not what the Bible means here when it says that. Think about when God was done creating everything in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 1 verse 31 says, God saw all that he had made and it was very good. Well, it was perfect, wasn't it? Not just very good, it was perfect. And that's really how Jesus is describing himself here. He's not one of many shepherds who's good. He is the perfect shepherd, the good shepherd in that sense. And he is our good shepherd because he perfectly takes care of us. And that's the first thing that makes him so special. He has perfect care for the sheep. Jesus compares himself to the hired man. The hired man's watching the sheep and doing what he can for them, but he's not going to go through any extra effort. And if there's a chance that he could be harmed by a predator defending the sheep, he's not going to do that either. But Jesus is willing to do whatever it takes to take care of those sheep. Why is Jesus our good shepherd? He has the power and the wisdom to be able to help us. Here in John's Gospel, we have evidence of so many things about Jesus. He's called God's Son in the first chapter. John tells us that Jesus was there and took part in creation. John chapter 2 is Jesus' first miracle, turning water into wine at the wedding of Cana. And then you get to John chapter 6, that's the miracle where Jesus feeds the 5,000. He's showing the disciples and everyone else that he is someone very special. And now in chapter 10, he wants them to see a little bit different aspect of him. Here he is, true God, doing miracles. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus had the power and the wisdom to help. What makes him such a good shepherd for us? Because Jesus takes care of us to protect us. He can keep dangerous things and harmful things away from us. He can send his guardian angels around us to protect us and we don't even realize it. There are times when Jesus may allow something to come into my life or your life, and now it can be a difficult thing, and yet God's promise is that he can use it for our good. and bless our life in that way. What makes Jesus our good shepherd? He has perfect knowledge of us as sheep. If you were a shepherd, you knew your sheep by name. You knew all their traits, all their characteristics. You spent all this time with them, watching them, and taking care of them. Well, that's what Jesus does. He knows us perfectly. He knows how we're feeling. He knows when we're hurting. He knows when we're afraid. He knows when we're not feeling well. He knows when we're worried or confused. He knows all those things about us. And as our good shepherd, he is able to care for us. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. What happens if you don't have a good shepherd? Well, Jesus tells us the flock gets scattered. The predators are going to come around looking for an easy meal. The sheep are going to stray away or be lost. Jesus is the good shepherd that you and I have in our lives. By God's grace, he tells us exactly who we are as sheep and how much we need him. And now, like those first disciples, he wants us to have that mindset of Jesus, that he isn't just up there in heaven preparing a place for us. He's with us right now, guiding our lives, directing our lives, encouraging us when we need it, assuring us that we're forgiven of our sins, and also assuring us that even now, right now, Jesus is in heaven, watching over us and our world and preparing a place for all who believe. Jesus is our good shepherd, the only one that there can be. He has this perfect care for us in each of our lives. Well, the picture of a good shepherd is beautiful. It's a stained glass window. It's very meaningful to people. We could talk all about the things that Jesus did to save us and what he does as our good shepherd. But unless the sheep are listening to the shepherd, it's not going to do them any good. I've been around men that have owned sheep and had sheep out west, and they have problem animals, you know, the kind of sheep that just don't want to listen. They stray away and eventually get themselves into trouble or killed or something. The shepherd can be great, but if the sheep's not going to listen, it isn't going to help them. The same is true in your life and mine. We can know everything about our good shepherd, Jesus, and how much he loves us and cares for us. The big question is, are we listening? Even as much as you and I know about Jesus and his love and care for us and how we need him, there's still a temptation for us to think, well, I can handle this on my own. I don't need this special connection with Jesus. We're always tempted to try and rely on ourselves instead of on the Lord. But what happens when we do? When we forget about the good shepherd? Same thing that happens to a flock of sheep. Jesus is our good shepherd. He came here willingly to do all of these things for us. He not only perfectly cares for us, but he also perfectly loves us. In the month of May, we'll be celebrating Mother's Day, and in June is Father's Day. And it's always good to remember those special holidays where you think about your family and the blessings that you receive from your moms and dads. Moms and dads try hard, like I did when my kids were at home, and I'm sure like your kids too, try and do the best you can for them. But as human parents, we're not perfect, are we? We make mistakes, we don't do things properly, maybe we thought something was good, then it wasn't good. We're not perfect in our love for our families. Well, now think about Jesus. He's perfect in every way, perfectly taking care of us, and then perfectly loving us. And how does he demonstrate that? Think of what he does. He comes here to take our place on earth, sets aside his glory and the full use of his power. I call it putting it in the closet for a while because you couldn't see it. Jesus put it aside so that he could be like us and live here in our sinful world. You think we're tempted? Think about how the devil tempted Jesus. You think it's difficult for us to live here? Think about Jesus being whipped and crucified and everything else that he endured. Jesus shows his love by living here perfectly. How does Jesus show his love for us? It's the ultimate sacrifice, isn't it? He's willing to lay down his life for us. And it wasn't because they grabbed him and forced him to die on the cross. He voluntarily went. And he knew ahead of time how excruciating it was going to be, but he still went. That kind of love isn't something that we could normally do as human beings. This is something that only Jesus could do. How does Jesus show his love for us? He's not just concerned about us having our faith. He is searching, as our Bible reading says, for the strays, the ones that have faith but they're getting away. He is searching for the ones that are lost, that don't have faith yet, but ones that he wants to give the opportunity for faith. Jesus says this in our Bible reading. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is on a continual search for the lost and the straying, giving them one more chance to come back again in faith. How does Jesus show his love for us? He not only suffered and died on the cross, but he was raised again. And by his resurrection, he assures us that our sins are forgiven and that we have a home in heaven with him. We'll be celebrating Ascension in a couple weeks, Jesus going back to heaven, and that's why he left to go where he did. Get a place ready for all believers, and you think you and I are waiting for heaven, Jesus is waiting for it even more until he can join all believers together in that perfect place. Jesus is our good shepherd. He perfectly cares for us, and he perfectly loves us. When I was a pastor in Saginaw, I was the spiritual advisor for a ladies group, LWMS, Lutheran Women's Mission Society. I didn't know much about that ladies group at first, but I would attend the meetings and have devotions for the ladies groups. There's going to be one of those gatherings in Standish next Saturday, the 27th. Well, the ladies bring speakers in, and they want to support the missions that our synod has, and they do that with their prayers and their offerings and other things, too. Like they were very involved in the Central African Medical Mission. They did things for that. Well, several years ago, they had a speaker come who had been a missionary to Nepal and Pakistan. And there were people there who had to share our faith, and they were starting to share God's word with others. One of the big things that helps people today in mission work is technology. You can hand out a laptop, and then here's all this information that they can see right on the screen. You don't have to lug books around and things, but you can give that to them electronically. Well, in some countries, they're really welcoming to the missionaries, and in some, they're not. Many years ago, one missionary had to flee for his life. He had to come back to the United States because they didn't like what he was doing. Well, that would put a damper on that man's ministry, but then you think about the people that he was serving. They can't have a pastor there anymore. Are they not supposed to preach and teach God's word? Stories like that make me think about what we have here in our country. Nobody's telling me what to preach tonight. Nobody told you that you couldn't come to church or that you can't have a Bible in your house. Nobody said that you can't pick up a meditation book or a Forward in Christ magazine. We have the freedom to do all these things. And because it's easy, I guess, we've had it. Maybe because it's so easy, we end up taking things like that for granted. Look at all these things Jesus has done for me. It's easy to say, yep, I know that. Let's go on to the next thing. And really not appreciate it or appreciate chances that we have to continue studying God's word. One thing about Jesus' love for us is that it's not a one-sided thing. He doesn't just love us. He wants us to love him in return. And that's part of what we do when we come to church. It's part of what we do when we live as Christians or have devotions or do Bible readings. It's part of what we do our entire lives, and it's a privilege to do that, to have all these opportunities to grow in our faith and see our good shepherd and have him to continue to guide our life every day. We're looking for help. Sometimes we can find it. Sometimes we can't. Thank the Lord that Jesus is our good shepherd. He gives us all the spiritual help we need. He is the only one that can save us, and he continues to perfectly care for and love you and me. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll confess our faith tonight. We'll be using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will continue with our prayers. Lord Jesus, Good Shepherd, we have heard the sweet sound of your familiar and loving voice in the gospel. We have feasted in the green pastures of your holy word. Bless us with your word in our lives. Use that message to nourish and sustain us as we journey through this life to the next. What joy it is to know that you laid down your life for the sheep, even sheep like us. Gracious Shepherd, we are truly confused and foolish without you. Forgive us for the times we wander from you and stray from the call of your voice. Restore us to your fold and protect us from the devil. When Satan comes in the sheep's clothing of false teaching, expose his lies and guide us in your truth. When temporary pleasures call us to follow the wide road to hell, use your rod and your staff to curb our sinful nature and lead us in paths of righteousness. Guiding Shepherd, bless your church with faithful under-shepherds, pastors who proclaim your death and resurrection as they minister to the souls in their care. Give all ministers of the gospel an unwavering devotion to your word. Tender Shepherd, look with special care on all who suffer from loneliness, disease, accident, or loss. Lift them up into your comforting arms and embrace them with the warmth of your love. Carry them through life's troubling times, renewing their hope and joy in their lives. Loving Shepherd, we pray also for your other sheep. Let your voice be heard in all the world. Prosper the work of our missionaries at home and abroad. Give us all an eagerness and the courage to share with our friends and neighbors the good news of sins forgiven. Use our witness to gather the elect into one fold under your care. Eternal Shepherd, when our days on earth come to an end and we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, lead us safely to our eternal home. There we will enjoy your goodness and mercy forever. We pray this in Jesus' name, as we also join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received his true body and blood as the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.